Jim Elliott and four other missionaries, Nate Saint, Ed McCauley, Peter Fleming, and Roger Udarian, were seeking to reach out to a fierce Ecuadorian tribe known as the Alcas when those same Indians turned on them. But Jim's widow, Elizabeth, surprised many when she and her young daughter, Valerie, lived there with the same tribe for 2 years. On Gateway to Joy, Elizabeth Elliott shares with you the lessons learned through that and many other events in her remarkable journey. Thanks for joining us for Gateway to Joy.
The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliott talking again today with my daughter, Valerie Shepherd. We've been discussing that terrible word that scares people to death, that word spanking, and you have always been convinced that spanking is necessary, not only because it works, but because the Bible talks about it, right?
Right. I believe we should obey the Bible. The rod is necessary in order to teach a child that there is a consequence to their disobedience. Just as when we're grown up, though we won't get physical spankings, there are consequences to our sin. And so children have to learn from the very beginning that there's going to be a punishment. I have a 16-month-old baby named Theo, and he can be quite defiant. And I do spank him for touching the dog food, as I mentioned yesterday, or for screaming. Well, for example, one time several months ago, he had just turned 15 months old, and he would not sit in his high chair when I had to feed him his lunch. And I had started out wrong in the first place by starting to feed him on my lap, because I hadn't started my lunch yet. But I'd started to feed him on my lap, and he was happily eating, and then he finished what that was, and then I had to get up to fix the rest of the kids' lunch. And so I tried to put him in his high chair from then on, and he just threw a fit. And I at first just tried to talk to him and tell him quietly that he must not scream, but he continued to scream. So I took him out of his high chair and took him over to the couch and spanked him with a little rod. And he cried all the more. And
can I stop you, Val? Mm-hmm. Tell us exactly what you mean by a little rod.
Well, it's a stick. It's a paint stirrer. You know what a paint stirrer is. It's thin and it's light, but it gives enough of a good sting that he knew he was doing wrong when he was screaming. But the whole scene went on, it seemed, for maybe 10 minutes. I don't know how long exactly it was, but it seemed, because he kept on crying so much, that he was not listening to me. It didn't seem like the spanking was doing any good, even though after I would spank him, I would take him back to the high chair. This happened several times, where I took him back to the high chair, quietly said to him, "You may not scream, and you must sit in the high chair for your lunch." And he screamed more, so I'd take him back to the couch, and I'd spank him again on the couch, and I'd say, "Now you must sit here until you stop your screaming." Well, this is a 15-month-old who doesn't understand all the phrases and all the words, but he knows that he did wrong each time he went to the high chair and screamed and stiffened out his legs. So, of course, the longer it went on, the more doubtful I was feeling inside as to what I was supposed to be doing, whether I was doing it right or not. But after probably the third spanking, I kept talking to him very quietly about how he must be quiet when he sits in the high chair. He finally settled down, and he sat down in the high chair. And then, of course, he didn't want to eat the food that we were going to feed him next. And it was a food that I knew he liked. So I thought from the very beginning, he just wants to sit in my lap and eat that food. But because I had to get everybody else's food and get my food on the table too, I felt he needed to sit in the high chair. So little things like that happen. And in the midst of it, you think, oh dear, what am I doing wrong? Or what should I be doing right? And when it was all over, though, I really felt like he had understood that he had to submit to my will. And when he didn't want the food that we were planning to give him once we got him in the high chair, we decided it wasn't necessary to make him eat that food, but the whole point had been the screaming and not sitting in the high chair. So I just talked to him quietly, and I said, "Okay, you may get down now."
Has he ever thrown a tantrum since then? I mean, a real tantrum where he stiffens out and screams.
Not like that. Although last night when we were going to the restaurant with you and Lars, we were sitting in a very tiny car. So his cry, he had started to cry as soon as we'd put him in the little car seat, and he's not used to this car seat. Plus, he was tired. He hadn't had enough of a nap. The two naps were both shorter than usual yesterday. And so he cried from the time we got into the car until we got to the restaurant. And the whole time I was talking to him and telling him that he must stop his crying. I covered his mouth so that the scream wouldn't be so loud. And he did stiffen out a little bit each time, and yet there would be a few seconds at a time where he would stop, and I would say, "That's a good boy. That's what I want you to do, is be quiet." And yet he'd start up again. So again, there were these doubts going through my mind as to whether I was doing it right or not. I did spank him a couple of times on his leg. I couldn't get in the position to get on the back of his leg, but I spanked him, and he knew that it was a spanking. So I don't know, by the end of the trip, he seemed to have gotten a little quieter, and I took him around, walked him around before we went into the restaurant. He got quieted down.
It was wonderful to see the way you kept your composure. I think that is so vitally important, that the parent remain under control of himself. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. You spoke to him very quietly, and I could tell I was trying not to turn around and look and see what was going on back there, mm-hmm. but I could tell that you were covering his mouth when he mm-hmm. was going to let out the biggest mm-hmm. scream, but then you did allow him to take a breath in between.
Yeah.
I want people to understand that you are a very kind and loving and humane mother, and you would never do what is called beating or hitting mm-hmm. your child. Mm-hmm. I shudder mm-hmm. when I hear people on TV and radio talking as though a spanking is hitting your child or slapping your child. You would never slap a child in the face,
never,
would you?
Never in the face. Mm-mm. No, not even on the arm.
It's always under control. It's the use of a rod. Is that different from whacking him with your hand?
Well, I would say as a baby that wants to touch things, I would often spank on the hand.
With your hand?
With my hand, because that's an immediate thing where they see what they're not supposed to touch, and you've told them not to touch it, and they need to see that their hand is not to go back to it again. But I think as they get older and they try more things, I think the rod, it should be used more and more. And no, I've always felt that it was so disrespectful to slap them or whack them on the arm or even across the leg. So many mothers do it out of a quick anger, and again, it's not under control. And I think if we're aware of the fact that God has told us in the Bible that we must, quote, beat our children, that's what it says, if you beat him with the rod, he will not die, but we must spank them, what it means is to spank them till it hurts. It has to hurt, because then they know that there is a consequence to their disobedience. If it doesn't hurt, it's not going to do much good. And I've heard mothers say, well, I do spank them over and over and over again. I spank them 5-6 times a day, and they still don't. Well, there are children who are very self-willed and much stronger willed than other children, and they will try something over and over again. And often the mother might be just spanking them on a covered, diapered bottom. Often the mother has spanked them the first few times out of control and not really taken the quiet, still time to look them in the face and say, that was wrong, that was disobedient, you must obey mama. So it takes self-control, definitely, for the mother or the father.
Now, speaking of whacking a little child's hand because he touched something, it seems to me that discipline, real physical discipline, does have to begin, if not sooner, at least when the child begins to crawl and can get into things. Mm-hmm. Do you mm-hmm. think it's a good idea to so-called child-proof your home, move everything out of reach?
No, I don't. There are certain things, like cleansers in the cupboards.
Poisonous
things that I think should be moved up above, and yet I haven't even done it for my son Theo, because he's not the kind that's continually opening cupboards, but there are babies that are always opening cupboards and pulling things out. And so for that kind of thing, I think that those should be put away and high up. But for things on a coffee table, or a wall socket, I think that they can be taught not to touch it at all. And
even a little crawling baby can be taught not to touch things.
Yeah, I do believe that.
I do too. And I would suggest that if there's nothing on your coffee table than a book, then maybe what you need to do is put maybe some little glass object that didn't cost anything. You wouldn't put your Royal Doulton figurine on the coffee table. Mm-hmm. But put something there that will be attractive to him that he might want to take, and just start with that. Mm-hmm. And just say no. Isn't it important, Val, to speak the child's name?
Yes.
To look him in the
eye. Look him in the eye.
Mm-hmm. Get his attention. Make sure he hears you. Mm-hmm. Speak quietly, and that always impresses me. I have never heard you yell or scream at your children.
Well, I do yell sometimes at my children. So.
Never when your mother's in the house, though, I guess. It's never happened that I know of, and usually I'm impressed with how extra quiet you are when you talk to them and disciplining them. So you speak in a normal tone of voice, and what about parents who give children a countdown? They say, come here, Jeremy, 10, 9, 8.
Even 1, 2, 3 is used by many mothers, and they don't expect the child to obey until we're about to say 3. And that's just teaching the child to delay in obedience, and I don't agree with that. It should be immediate obedience, and I still have a hard time teaching my children to obey on the first command, and yet I really believe in the principle, and I want my children to know from the beginning that if I say it has to be done now, it has to be done now, because when they grow up, they're going to be given commands by God. The prompting of the Spirit may say to them, go write a letter immediately to so-and-so that they need to ask forgiveness of. And if they don't do it immediately, there will be consequences to their delaying, their obedience. So I really believe children need to be taught immediate obedience. And we have that little phrase in our home a lot. When I'll tell one of my children to go pick up their shoes, and then I'll turn around to do something else, and I'll hear one of the older ones saying, immediate obedience.
Thanks so much, Val.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Discipline, The Glad Surrender, and No Graven Image. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.